Chris Michaels for the Last Call Podcast with the aforementioned Chris Michaels, giving you cutting-edge commentary and brilliance at every single second of this recording. Does anybody remember Justice Slobomayor? She is so downtrodden. She's crestfallen because she didn't realize that when she's on the Supreme Court of the United States, guess what? There is a lot of work. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it. She says she is so stressed out with the workload, and she lives in frustration, constant frustration. She says cases are bigger, they're more demanding, the number of amici are greater, and you know that our emergency calendar is so much more active. I'm tired. Oh my gosh. Could it be that equity has backfired finally on Justice Slobomayor? This is the same person who's walking around with a mask and couldn't find out whether or not it was a good idea to enforce vaccine mandates or not across the country. Yes. So this is a person that we should be putting in the pay no mind file. And she goes, guess what? It's even worse than this. There used to be a time when we had a good chunk of the summer break. Not anymore. The emergency calendar is busy almost on a weekly basis. What she means by the emergency calendar is that there are court cases out there that are so pressing that the Supreme Court needs to hear them because they demand attention. It can't wait to go through the appeals process and on and on and on. No, we're talking about the rogue Jack Smith going after Trump. Everybody going after Trump is probably going to push to be put in front of the Supreme Court, especially when it comes to allowing Donald Trump to be on the ballots across this nation. That is what is so important here. And so far, a lot of the states that tried to remove Donald Trump from the ballots, their Supreme Courts, the state Supreme Courts, they've been pushing back on that effort. And a lot of these states have said, no, you can't do that. Donald Trump is allowed to be on the ballot, so don't even try it anymore. Enough is enough. But that doesn't mean that they won't stop there. They could appeal the Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court's decision to bring it in front of Slobomayor's Supreme Court. I mean, what are we really looking at here with Justice Slobomayor? It's an equity in workload. It's workload equity. Somebody doesn't feel as though she should be working so hard. I mean, if we remember how she got there in the first place, it probably was through some Biden DEI initiative. But here we are. Oh, I don't want that much work. I mean, it's just too bad. Just too bad, Slobomayor. You get your just desserts, and it will be a bitter dessert for you. Here's something. Montana. I'm going to take the chance to prove myself right yet again for being ahead of the curve. I am a beacon of brilliance, and I shine it all across the jetties of idiocy. And this comes from the Gateway Pundit. Montana Child Protective Services medically kidnapped teen girl to Wyoming for gender-affirming care and fully revokes parental custody. Ooh, how many times have I brought that up? Well, so the story is this. Montana CPS, Child Protective Services, basically took a 14-year-old girl who was very, very confused to the point where she wanted to chop off her mammaries and do some other things to her body, which she cannot undo. And ultimately, if she goes through with the procedure, which she did, I believe, it means that this girl is more than likely going to be sterile for the rest of her life. Talk about soft population control. So, Child Protective Services from Montana drove the girl into Wyoming. And then they applied gender-affirming care. Yes, because that's really what it's all about. It couldn't be a psychological issue where these poor children really need to talk to somebody about whatever they're feeling on the inside. They're confused and upset for whatever reason. No, it couldn't be that. They just have to go through 1.5 telehealth meetings to start going on puberty blockers and anti-androgens. and adding hormones of the opposite sex to their body. And then wouldn't you know it, within three visits, they can start lobbing off reproductive organs. Yes, because that's really what is going to be helping this poor person. In April of 23, the Montana legislature passed State Bill 99, which banned the medical transitioning of minors. However, a series of events unfolded in August that significantly impacted the family, and the daughter was transported across state lines. Now, what's even worse than this is that the child is essentially being removed from the parents. That's what's really disturbing here. That's what's really disturbing here. Because what I've said before is that they need to start fighting back against this kind of behavior. Because the problem is this. They're going to start to try to remove parents from the equation. That's the most disturbing part here. And I'll sum it up like I've always done. This is what they have in mind. They need some kind of soft population control, right? You can make an argument for the vaccines. Oh, I'm sorry, the gene therapy prophylactics. You can make an argument for that because some of the adverse events include, sterility. But they don't tell you about that. And on top of that, you've got countless other ways to sterilize people, not only through injections like they've done in Africa, like Bill Gates boasted about on his TED Talk, which is almost completely removed from the interwebs, but you can still find it. Then you've got the countless microplastics in almost everything that you eat and drink from. What do you think they do? I brought this up on prior podcasts too. They cause infertility. They cause sterility. So every time you drink from a Poland Spring bottle or something along those lines, you're getting those microplastics, those nanoplastics that are so tiny that your cells can't stop it. And then God knows what kind of adverse events these various drugs that the doctors pump into these kids. And adults, by the way. I mean, there was a study that even Elon Musk cited from the NIH. That's Dr. Fauci's outfit. That talks about how girls on birth control are three times more likely to commit suicide. That's another soft population control effort there. If they commit suicide, you don't have to worry about them giving birth later on. And then they're on birth control, so they ain't giving birth that way either. Now, going back to this story from Montana, the other way they're trying to do this is through this transition movement, this trans movement, because of what I outlined before. If you don't have any real stops to a kid that says, no, I should be a boy, no, I should be a girl, and in 1.5 telehealth visits, you don't even have to be in person for it. You could just go through the computer, go do a Zoom call. They could start up these kids on these types of drugs. And then, bam, the medical industry has a patient for life in multiple ways. They need to keep taking these drugs to be a trans person. And then the psychologists or the therapists, they step in and they can prescribe drugs too. And on top of it, the insurance companies get to cash out on that. Because this person just going to a therapist, just going to a doctor, guess what? It's going to cost money. And for the benefit of these deranged World Economic Forum types, you have somebody that's sterile, soft population control. What else happens? Brought it up before. Now, in this case, you have CPS taking the child away from the parents. The state is ultimately trying to become the guardian of the children in this country, in the United States, right now. If the state becomes the guardian, then that means the parents are removed from the equation. This is very communistic. right? And I'm not talking, I should say it this way, very Bolshevistic. And then what happens? Then you're going to start to get the type of society where the state determines who can and cannot have a child and when they can do it. Because you're going to start to see terms like mature minor, which I've brought up many times. Basically, somebody that's 12 years old and above is considered a mature minor. You're already starting to see the arguments for it. You can go up and do a quick Google search on it. You can find everything. And with that mature minor, that means that that child, preteen, 12 years old, is allowed to perform medical procedures on themselves. And the doctor does not have to tell the parents what medical procedures have been done. But the doctor will bill the parents through the insurance company. That invoice will not show what kind of procedures have been performed. The parents only get the bill. And then all of a sudden, little Michael becomes Michelle, and nobody knows why. Well, the doctor knows, the teachers know, the parents don't. Then what happens? Parents don't like it. Then we get this case from Montana. CPS comes in. You do not adhere to recognizing your child's gender. So you are in an abusive situation. We're going to remove the child. And then, poof, you lose your rights as a parent and you do not have your child anymore. See how that works? And then just factor in central banking digital currencies. Factor in 15-minute cities. If you don't have a good enough social credit score, you will not be allowed to have a child per the state's rules. And if you do not have all of your vaccinations and you're not up to date with that, then you don't get your digital currency. Then you can't eat. Then no hospital is going to accept you because your insurance won't work because you're not up to date with your vaccinations. Oh, and what you know, at some of these adverse events in the vaccinations, they cause sterility. But if you don't have those shots, you do not get paid. You aren't allowed to go beyond 5 miles, on and on. I've brought this up many times. That's what you're looking at here. Montana is just proving me right by separating children from their parents because these parents are outraged that the schools are basically keeping the gender preference of their child away from them. And then CPS comes in and runs with the ball. How deranged do you have to be to even say that, oh, yes, this is worth it. This is something that we should be supporting here because I'm relevant. I am accepting, and everybody should be just as accepting as I am. So if my four-year-old suddenly determines that they're of a different sex and a different gender, then, well, I'm going to support that, and I'm going to start giving them drugs at 4.5. That's what you're looking at with these people. You need the moral compass. I'm telling you. You need the custodians of society to... Yeah. You need the custodians of society to start stepping in. Talk about a lot of S's in that alliterated sentence. And they need to say enough is enough. You're acting like lunatics. If somebody's 18 years old and they want to start going through some kind of transition, opposite, do whatever you want. You can vote. You can buy, can you buy cigarettes? I don't know. I don't smoke. You could serve in a war. I mean, if you could do those things, right? You could drive, do whatever. Then doesn't mean you're mentally sound, but it is your body at that point, 18 years old. You're out of the house. Off you go. Have a good time. But this mature minor stuff, this removing children, no. Somebody needs to step in and say enough is enough here. And you're certainly not going to get that on the Democrat side because you got the fat pig, Victoria Nuland. She is in a little bit of hot water, digressing just like a drunken mental patient, going quickly to another topic because I've had enough of that. At this point, everyone has heard that there were U.S. troops that were killed in Syria. Now, the question that you should have is this. Why are U.S. troops in Syria? That's the first thing, because I don't remember anybody in the government saying, oh, we're going to invade Syria. Do you? No, I didn't think so. Now, the last time I checked, which was earlier in the week, There are technically more military bases in Syria than there are in Iraq. Now, that doesn't mean that the military bases in Syria are bigger than the ones that are in Iraq, but they're location-wise, as far as we know, because I'm sure there are secret bases all over, there are more in Syria than there are in Iraq. Once again, why? This has to do with stealing oil. And all of the leftists, they don't want you to remember that it wasn't Trump that put those troops into Syria. It was Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton that did that. Why? Because those bases were supplying, training, and funding ISIS terrorists, because that is who is in charge of ISIS, the American government. Contracted out. We know them as ISIS. Over there, they know them as mercenaries. So Victoria Nuland is in a little bit of hot water because three soldiers died. Now, if you listen to the Biden administration, those three soldiers, they died for the Biden administration, not America, the Biden administration. What kind of eulogy is that? And Biden is supposed to be there when these three soldiers come back to be buried. I wonder if he's going to check his watch again, like he did last time he was at a funeral. It's just a reprehensible bottom-dwelling family. I mean, oh, God. Cockroaches are higher on the food chain than the Biden family. And that's not saying much. So she comes out and says, well, first, and this is the exact quote, first, let me set the record straight. The United States is not withdrawing from Syria. Why? First, why are you there? Second, why aren't you withdrawing when you illegally have occupied, in violation of international law, a country's sovereign territory? You want to talk about terrorism? How about a nation going into another nation illegally and stealing upwards of 80 to 90% of its oil? And then selling it on the black market, selling it wherever, taking it, stealing it, putting it back into the petroleum, the strategic petroleum reserve. I mean, who is this fat ass? I mean, and I mean it. I mean it. She is a war criminal. She, please, sweetheart, put a paper bag over your head. Help us all out. At least that would move the bar up slightly for us when we need to tolerate you and your warmongering ways. I mean, if you want to go down a dark path, just look at the type of person Victoria Nuland is. I mean, she's also the type of person that said that, F the EU. And she is also responsible for overthrowing the Ukraine back in 2014 with the color revolutions. So she's immediately along the lines of a George Soros. That's how bad this slob is. So this, you got to hold these people accountable, and you can't let go when they do something as reprehensible as this. Well, we're not leaving Syria. Well, why are you there in the first place? All the Republicans came out. Well, if Biden is going to strike Iran, he struck Yemen. If they're going to attack Syria, the Biden administration, they need to come to Congress first because he's declaring a war, a military operation, without getting approval from Well, where were they when the United States invaded Syria? Everybody's quiet about that. Nobody's starting to introduce new legislation. You've got to withdraw from Syria. Everybody's quiet on that. Nothing. Not a peep from anybody. See, this is how it works. They're all warmongers. They all want war. Nikki Haley, she's on par with Victoria Nuland. And these people, Victoria Nuland, last time I checked earlier this week, she's behind Trump. I think that the last poll that I looked at, it was something along the lines of 76 to 14 in Trump's favor. Or 76 to 14 or 74 to 16. It was something ridiculous like that. Like, why even start with it? I think it was like that. It was the amount that Trump was ahead of her was redonkulous. That's how bad it was. And she and the press are running around saying, oh, yes, it's going to be a woman president next. Is it? Is it really? Because it ain't going to be you. Are we talking about Big Mike Obama? Or maybe it's Taylor Swift. Maybe Taylor Swift is going to be president. I mean, these are the types of people that the left just throws up on a pedestal. Oh, my gosh. Look at these people. Oh, Taylor Swift, she's saying something. Oh, E. Jean Carroll. Her reputation was demolished by Donald Trump. So she needs $83.3 million to make herself feel better. But that doesn't stop her from going on Rachel Maddow's show where they all have just a bunch of gal talk. They're all clucking away, these hens on television, talking about how they're going to be spending Trump's money. And E. Jean Carroll says, oh, you want to go shopping? You want to buy a penthouse? I'll do it for you, Rachel. I've got this $83 million just burning a hole in my pocket. And you deserve it. And everybody's all smiles and laughing. Oh, ho, ho. She says, you want France? You want to go fishing in France? It's yours, Rachel. This is the person that is supposed to be so downtrodden and reputation has been dashed to the point where I can't even find a job. I don't even know what I'm going to do with myself anyway. You live in a shack in the woods. You probably don't even have a toilet that flushes. And now you're going on shopping sprees. Now all of a sudden it's all rainbows and blue skies and unicorns and we're going to buy other liberal lunatics penthouses. First off, Rachel Maddow doesn't need a penthouse. She's not going to go shopping with you, especially at a Bergdorf Goodman, you lunatic. This is what they throw out there. This is what they put out there. We're supposed to take these people seriously? No way. There's no way we could take these people seriously. And how is this possible? How is this possible? How does she think? How does E. Jean Carroll think that she's in the right for going on all of these television shows and just all smiles, ear to ear. Oh, look, I got $83 million. Who wants a? I'm going to give you a TV. I'm going to buy you a penthouse. Where you want to go fishing? Yeah, well, clam diving? You got it, Rachel. The lawyer that was on MSNBC at the time, mortified. Absolutely mortified. Oh, that's a joke. That's a joke. Shut up, idiot. You can't act like that. You're supposed to be the downtrodden woman that fell into a doorknob that needs to wear sunglasses wherever she goes. So shut the F up. He's elbowing her and all that. But seriously, I mean, and the judge, we find out. It's even worse. It's even worse than what we thought. This Judge Kaplan, new information has come out. Hold tight. Sit down. If you've got socks on, prepare to have them knocked off. So, the judge, we all know, is tied to E. Jean Carroll's lawyer, right? I brought up how that was the case. The judge was a partner at a law firm that the lawyer started off at and acted as a mentor before he became a judge. Then we find out this from Byron York. Trump lawyer says defense just learned that E. Jean Carroll's judge was once a mentor to Carroll's lawyer. This issue is particularly concerning since the plaintiff's other lead counsel, Sean Crowley, served as your honor's law clerk. So we've got two lawyers on the plaintiff's side, on E. Jean Carroll's side, that were working for the judge at some point in either of their careers. Hello, conflict of interest. The law clerk served as your law clerk, and we were previously advised that your honor co-officiated her wedding. Do you see how that's all wrapped up in a neat little bow? The judge, the law clerk, the two lawyers for the plaintiff, they all know each other. And they know each other so intimately, the effing judge shows up and officiates the GD wedding. How could this judge not recuse himself? Oh, I know. He's compromised. It's ridiculous. This isn't what it should be in America. Absolutely not. It's not what it should be in America. This is not how the justice system is supposed to work. But here we are. They're abusing their positions of power. They're hideously compromised, hideously unethical. And the press just runs with it. Oh, let's invite this lunatic on. Oh, yes. Oh, you want this? I'll buy it. You a Ferrari? You got it. Where are the Republicans calling this out? Oh, I know, because they don't want Trump either. So they're deaf. They're completely silent. Shh, don't say anything. We won't say anything bad about Trump, but we certainly won't help him. Then there's this. I'm not sure if anybody saw that. Does everybody remember this story about pipe bombs on January 6th? And anybody, does that ring a bell at all to anybody? Well, there were pipe bombs. Why? We saw it on video. Nobody knows what happened to the person that placed the pipe bombs. More video came out. Looks like those pipe bombs are actually props that the FBI and the Capitol Police use in scenarios, in case studies, in exercises. So this is what was going to happen. If the rabble rally didn't do what it did, if it didn't have all of the insurrectionists and fifth columnists within the rabble rally on January 6th, and that they did not get into the Capitol building, then all of the police in cahoots were going to say, oh, we found pipe bombs all over the Capitol, and oh, it's because of MAGA. Well, turns out, more nonsense, more corruption. The politics brief, according to a former FBI agent. The Bureau, the FBI, initially believed that it had linked the person who planted pipe bombs at the Democratic and Republican National Committees to a specific Metro fare card and license plate. But he was denied the opportunity to interview the person of interest, and his team was pulled off the lead. Oh, here we go. We've got the same MO as what the government did when it came to Jeffrey Epstein. We've got evidence. You're off the case. We don't want the evidence. We don't want to look at it. Well, it turns out the former FBI's agents... what do you want? It's 27 minutes. The former FBI agent's claim raises fresh concerns about the official narrative of the January 6th pipe bomb threat, which led to two federal buildings being evacuated, and Kyle Serafin, who led the FBI surveillance teams, told the Daily Wire that shortly after January 6th, a counterintelligence team met with him at a firehouse in Falls Church, Virginia, to brief him on his next surveillance target. They had used security footage to track the person into a metro station after he had planted the bombs and identified the fare card that he used. Oh. So we know who the person is. Now, the crux of this story, which it is rather lengthy, but it's worth the read, is this. Essentially, the pipe bomber that we saw in newly released footage was well known to Capitol Hill police. Why? We see it in the video. He's leaning inside of the car. He's talking to policemen who were in unmarked cars. Everybody in clear view can see the pipe bomb. Nobody was doing anything. Nobody was running around. Nobody was scared. Everybody is walking around like nothing was happening. That doesn't say, oh my God, we're taking this seriously. So it turns out that more than likely, as of right now, this person that was putting pipe bombs all across the Capitol Hill, the Capitol, period, dot, that's it, turns out to be possibly a government contractor working with the DOJ and the FBI. Oh. Oh, my goodness. The suspect is a government contractor with explosive ordnance disposal training. The former CIA-NSA contractor also said the suspect's mobile device has been connected to DOJ, FBI, and DC Navy Yard servers. So once again, was there a sedition on January 6th? Yes, it was. Yes, there was. Was it Trump that was responsible? No. Was it MAGA that was? No. You want to talk about an insurrection and a sedition? This is where you look. You look on the Democrat side. You look on the Rhino Republican side, like Mitch McConnell. You look at the Capitol Hill police. You look at the DOJ, the FBI. You look at those people. You want to find out where insurrections start. That's what we're fighting up against right now. You're talking about going against a massive, massive, massive beast here. And it's going to take a lot more than just voting harder to drain this swamp. Okay, that's it. 31 minutes. I'm out of here. Chris Michaels, you know where to find me. Last Call Caravan on your social media. Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels. I'll be back. I'm a brilliant, lovable fuzzball. I'm brilliant, as I've said before many, many, many times. And do like me, do share, and get those listens up, and recommend me to other people. I'll send you an 8.5x11 glossy of myself, autographed, for the thanks. I will be back tomorrow, as always.